Hi, everybody. Will here with this week's interview chair. We have my brother from a different mother, Mr. Kenneth R. Wall. Enjoy yourself with Kenny. Hi, everybody. Today, our special guest in the interview chair is my brother from a different mother, Mr. Kenneth R. Wall.
How are you, Will?
Hey, Kenny, how are you, man? It's good to see you. Good. How are things going there? You guys are crazy busy, aren't you?
Crazy busy. COVID, I mean, everybody's going on vacation. The kennel is packed. I mean, everybody wants everything now. Oh, they want their life back. So
yeah.
That's what we're going through right now. It's better than not working.
Oh, exactly. How's Joel doing?
Joel's good. Businesses, you know. You should pull and drive at any time.
All right. Well, let's get started then. Tell us how, I wonder how old you were and how did you get involved in the sport of dogs, Kenny?
Okay. I was a little kid in I came over to visit my Aunt Pat. And she had a little 4-H group and they all had their little dogs and she had a couple Irish setters. And I thought it was so wonderful. I was doing hockey and just going about my life. I mean, as a kid, my brothers played football and it wasn't my thing. I thought I wanted to do something else. And then she had horses in the back. And I'm like, this is what I want to do. I was probably 8 or 9 years old. So then as time goes on, I mean, I was real tiny. I didn't grow until like my junior year in high school. I was only like 5'1". So, I mean, like, it wasn't great. I played hockey. I was a defenseman, but I wasn't big enough to be the big leagues. So my aunt's like, he should really get back into dogs. So at 11 and a half, I got a Sheltie named High Tide Sandstorm, an obedience dog out of Peter Piper a long time ago, a famous dog. And it was way too big. And I got two high-end trials on her, and I was about 12 and a half years old. And that's how I was addicted, and I trained her probably 4 to 5 hours a day. And then went on from there as my aunt had a blind Irish setter that I started showing junior handling back when the days when we had PRA problems.
Yeah.
So that's how I started. To the confirmation ring. So,
you walked in the confirmation ring. You were how old?
I was probably 13, 12 and a half, 13 years old.
Okay.
Family, we had a lot of problems that I didn't get to travel like I wanted to as a kid. Financial problems. I mean, my father was very sick. So, I mean, I did everything for my aunt. My aunt took me everywhere. She had her protege to do everything with. So I went from there.
Explain who your aunt is.
My aunt is Pat Nagel, which is the grandma, as we all call her.
Everybody calls her grandma.
Grandma. And she has a heart of gold. Spent her last dime. So anyway, she started with the 4-H groups and then she made us with my obedience dog. I went to all the schools and started showing demonstrations. And from there, I mean, people wanted me to start showing dogs after time period of going to all those, classes and doing everything. So I started showing the odd dog here and there and trying to help out. And I went over and I had like Jan Knight and I started showing her dogs, an English setter kennel. And we're just little kids. I mean, to them and stuff like that. But I worked and showed my own dogs. So, and then it was probably 16 before I really started traveling. And then a judge named Bob Ennis that lived in our neighborhood, who's a judge of group at the Garden and Sporting. And he said that he needed help to go to dog shows. Well, I was in. And that's why I started. It was my ride to all the dog shows without my aunt. My aunt always wanted me to do whatever. Oh, you got to do this, you got to do that. But I really learned about dogs, going to dog shows with him. So that's what I learned. So.
So you were like 16 when you started helping Bob.
16.
Yeah.
16.
And keep going, Ken, because there's a lot
keep
more
going.
Than just that.
And then probably, and I don't know. It's letting the years go by. I mean,
well, Patty was breeding Irish setters at this point or not?
No, she didn't have good Irish setters back then. She got some from Diane Golf, who had PRA problems. So we had it all start over again. And the lady moved from California named, Sue Griffiths, used to be Sue Zarnicki.
Yep.
And had lovely Irish setters. And she had a number one dog named Clancy. Revolutionary was his registered. What was his kennel name? Carriers Revolutionary.
Yep.
And came to our area and I got to see him running around her yard and stuff like that. And I'm like, this is what I want. I want Irish setters. I mean, and lived and breathed them. And so as time went on, I mean, I wound up showing dogs for Sue later on, but Patty got an Irish Setter bitch named Carrier Special Treasure. And she was really lovely. She had light eyes, which I hate. But anyway, she was just lovely. I mean, the first good Irish Setter I got to show. And then from there, she won classes at Nationals, and she went to Canada, was best puppy with Patty, showing herself. And so, like, that was best puppy. I mean, and then we bred her, which made Quail Fields McCall's, was best of opposite at National in the Catskills. And then we did the next litter. We leased a bitch from Sue Griffiths, which is a bitch named Coral Charm, which Carolyn McAteer's family bred. And Sue got as a stud fee puppy. And Revolutionary was you know, again, back in my life again, I'm saying. So she was bred to a dog. Who was she bred to? That, I mean, we bred her to Vindicator, which made Quail Fields Making Business. People know mostly me from showing Quail Fields Making Business in the very beginning. He's our top sire in the history of our breed now. And he was Becky's dog. The girl that worked for me was Patty's step-granddaughter that was my life. It was an abused child and stuff. So anyway, Becky was it was her life, that dog. And, yeah. You know, and he was an incredible show dog. He was very young. I won the breed of the guard when he was very young. And then I don't know what else to say to you about him. But anyway, it was a joy. But my life was on full ride. And I thought I was doing dogs. I was a single father with a child. Everybody forgets about that. I was at 18 years old. I had the greatest child. But, I mean, it slowed me down a lot with why I didn't travel and do what
and
I wanted.
And you were a child, too. You were 18, so.
I was 18 with a child.
Yeah.
So anyway, I had him and stuff like that. So I got some little health problems. I got some bleeding ulcers. And then I sent him to you for a little while.
Yeah, we had him for a year, yeah.
Yeah, and then you'd made him top dog all breed in Canada.
Yeah, we did. He was great. He was so much fun to show.
Yeah, it was a fun dog, no matter what he was going to show. And he goes back to everything that you showed after that and I showed and Adam showed. I mean, like my son from a different mother again, you know what I'm saying? Here we go. Yeah. So I'm like, it's all just part of the family. That dog just put us all together on the map together real close. So that's that dog. But I'm saying there's hundreds of dogs in between. So I don't know what you want me to go with that after that.
I don't want to keep going. Well, because you got to keep going because Addie was, Addie was 27 years ago.
27 years. But I'm saying, I just had Making Business. I mean, I had McCall's and Making Business, you know.
And see, I thought, where did Danny? Because you had Heaven Only Knows
Danny
for a while.
I got Danny for a while. I started specialing him. That's when we had, when I was doing, after Quail Fields, that was after Special Treasure.
I was showing Impresario when you had Danny out too.
Yes, so you had Impresario, and Danny came here after the gentleman Tom Tobin, not Tom.
Ray McGinnis.
Ray McGinnis had him, and he retired. So Kathy sent him out to me for a while, and I showed him here on this coast for a little while. My first real specials dog.
Yeah,
and I learned a lot. And he was a fun dog. My son loved that dog. I mean, he carried a Tonka truck around the house. I mean, that's what you say. You don't have personalities like that. I mean, just a great, great dog. So
yeah, he was.
And then, I mean, time he went back, I mean, my life changed. So I was probably, at that point, 23 years old.
Yeah, because we're the same age. So when you showed
you're older.
Danny, I'm older by 4 days. Yeah. When you showed Danny, I was showing Impresario. So I was 22, so you were 22. So.
Okay. And then what else did we do? Then I started, after Danny went back, I started German wire hair for a while. His name was Moon. J&J Show and Tell, my first breed winner at the Garden, the dream dog. I mean, he won 4 breeds in at the Garden with me, a couple Nationals, and just a fun, fun dog. And saying, me and you went to, with Impresario and him, we went down to Florida and got ourselves in trouble in Florida, I should say, whatever. But anyway, that's a different story from a different, you know. But anyway, it was fun. That's when we got really good friends through, you know, time flies by. I mean, it just seems like yesterday this was happening.
It does. At that point, who would you say your mentors were at that point? Would have been Bob?
No, my mentors, as far as teaching me about dogs, Bob taught me about soundness and quality of dogs and health, how to take care of a dog. I mean, like, I mean, make sure they get the vets. I mean, what you're doing. He was much more safe. and his decisions. And then I learned, I met Kathy Prickett, and I met, like, Robin was a friend of mine, and I met all these other people, and Sue, and I was obsessed with, I mean, learning to trim. And Kathy Prickett worked for, back to Karen Prickett Miller.
Yeah.
And that's where Kelly learned to trim. And then Robin worked there. And she was probably the most talented, but she was not the hardest working of the three. But she taught me, she showed a dog named Great Miami, the Gordon Setter. And
Gordon,
I learned
what
it is to put a dog in a trim and balance, I mean, and all that stuff, you know. So, and then, I mean, she had springers and stuff like that. But she taught me, when she came to a dog show, she was never prepared. So I learned to trim on her dogs most of the time and her telling me what to do. I mean, it was great for me. And I'm, you know, probably 25 then, I mean, 23 to 25. And then I went and worked for John Raleigh nearby for a while.
Oh,
and
I remember that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, I mean, I never got to leave because of the, it was Sean. I mean, what you wanted to do, you know? So, I mean, that's, I'm blessed to have him. I'm not saying,
oh my God, yeah, get to work.
Yeah. You know, how can he be? And so anyways, next.
Did you work for John until he retired?
What?
Did you work for John until he retired?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay.
I did not. Yeah, I mean, he was still a professor, and he was working weekends and doing that. And then the girl, he gave it to the girl that was working for him. And I was just doing all the trimming for him. They're running dogs around. I was just grooming dogs constantly for them. And I wasn't learning that much. Then after that, where did I go next? I mean, I think I basically started showing dogs of my own. And I had the Kelly Martz and Becky and Maureen Martz, and then I had Tracy's Zaris's sister. Those are the four girls who worked with me over the years. But I started out with the Kelly Martz worked with me, the Bull Terrier girls family. Yeah. And then she worked for me, I mean, and did a lot, but she wasn't trimming and stuff like that. So I traveled with her. And then Maureen, but Becky was the main one. Becky Arch now, who's, you know, yeah, was Patty's granddad. I mean, when I gave you Addie, I gave you my help also to Kay too. Yeah.
And she was great.
She was great. So anyway, so that's how life goes.
She's still great.
She's still great. She can trim a dog faster than anybody I know.
Oh, and she can show a dog. She can do anything, that girl.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I trim one dog to her four, and she does a great job. I'm like, yeah, she's a machine. So, and we love her to death. So I had those are the four main girls that lived in, you know, so.
And then
I miss them all. I want all of them never to grow up and leave me. That's what I felt. I was the odd person. I never had a guy work for me because of my sexuality. I just didn't feel comfortable having young guys working for me. You know, I just wanted to hide it in the closet. Back then, it was not accepted like it is today. I mean, things you got to touch on, yeah, you know? And so and people were like, oh, he's doing some of these little girls. No, I was not. They were my girls. So keeping them safe.
Yep, exactly.
They learned a lot.
They've sure all done did. Well. And I remember being like, you and I traveled quite a bit, like the Florida circuit, yeah, and whatnot, and we had a great time, and we both learned a lot. Well, on the dogs we had, you know, like we had so much fun with right, the Cocker Spaniels and the toy poodles and the Bichons.
The Bichon, his legs got litter and litter. Yeah. He trimmed so much.
We kept trimming and trimming and trimming, but then he finished, but then he got home, as he had no leg hair. Do you remember the time we can tell this story? Remember the top knot story?
Yes. We put her in the crate, and the next day she came out with her top knot still, and she went winner's bitch both days with the same top knot.
Yep. We had this toy poodle in the circuit, and we had this giant, we had an aluminum crate. So we did her up once, did up her top knot once. We scissored on her and worked on her each day, but we'd put her in a crate in the middle of a giant crate to keep her top knot.
Allison was happy. She won. Didn't make a difference.
Exactly.
The stories of all those poodles.
Oh, God. One of my favorite stories is when you had the poodle's top knot in your pocket.
That's right. Up in wine country. You said, yep, Felicia won. And I said, yes, and I have her head in my pocket. Because the judge checked for switches, and Allison yanked it out.
And there popped you are. It out and gave it to you.
That was how time flies.
It, oh my, like, God, yesterday. Yeah. Yeah, well, you'd come across the border. Back then, everybody smoked. So we'd go back to to my kennel, and we'd sit by the wood stove and smoke. Remember that?
Yeah, two packs a day, both of us back there. Talk about it, what we were going to do. And now we're like, oh, boy, we should have done instead of talking about it.
Oh, my God, it was. It does seem like yesterday, though. I can still see it. Yeah. Okay, so now you're. When did you leave Buffalo area?
I left Buffalo area in 1997. I met, I was I was dating a person before that, and his job wound up moving him to Arizona. I'm jumping back. And then so I talked to Joel, which is my partner now. I talked to him like two gardens, and both of us were in relationships. And then the year I showed Making Business the dog again as a veteran, I pulled him out as a veteran. He asked if he could buy me a drink. So, and I said yes. And then I wound up moving down in July of that year, down to be me and Sean moved down. So, so that's when I went down there to work at the vet clinic and show dogs down here for a while.
Which is, where exactly are you?
I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina, actually Wake Forest. I live where the old Wake Forest campus is. I live on the old property in downtown.
And there's been a lot of virus that are since then. So where do we go from there? Before we get into that, I want to ask you a question. You've seen it all. You know, what advice would you give a young person that wanted to get into the sport of dogs now? What advice would you give them?
I would tell a young person right away, basically, they need to give it a summer first. You're not going to learn anything unless you're not going to learn in a day or two. You need to give yourself one summer if you really want to do dogs and learn from the best. I mean, and don't think you're going to be showing dogs by the end of the summer. You learn how to take care of the dog, do hair. Everything doesn't come easy. I mean, a lot of kids nowadays, they think like a computer, you turn it on. A dog takes a lot of work. The really good ones always have problems. You have to work through them. Yep. And, I mean, I've never known a great dog that didn't have a problem in some way.
Some sort of issue. I know. I always said the best ones have issues. So.
And kids don't understand that. Everyone's just running around the ring. So that's why I say, young person, if you don't have a toolbox how to fix them and really learn from someone who knows what they're doing, you're only going to make problems worse. It's like someone fixing a computer or fixing a car that doesn't know how. And right. If you don't learn from them, it ain't happening.
Yep. What about you've done a lot of breeding too. You've bred Irish setters, and between you bulldogs. And Joel, you've both bulldogs and IGs, and do you breed chins as well? Yes.
Chins, I bred chins.
So what advice for breeders? Because you've been successful in all the breeds. Yeah.
Yeah. Be honest about health problems. It's only going to get you in the ass later on. I mean, I always say you try to breed a fancy dog to a safe dog, and people like go crazy with that. I breed your boxcar to your race cars. Anytime I ever done it, all the years, try to keep your legs fairly good, but you want to keep your type. I mean, people breed fancy to fancy. And that's why I say to people, that's my best advice I can tell anybody. Do not, as much as you want to, but try to breed on a pedigree. Don't just outcross all the time. Every once in a while you have to for health reasons, but you have to try to stay within your parameters. So, and we've been quite successful having in the small breeding program we've done over the years.
Oh, for sure.
Well,
you've been successful in bulldogs and chins and Irish setters and IGs.
The IGs have done quite well lately,
Yeah.
So.
What about, I don't want to get to Adele yet. I want to save I want to save that story. What about some dogs over the years that you've admired that you wished you could have been a part of?
I didn't get to see. I saw Marquis up in Canada with George's wife, with Marianne up in Canada. That's the only time I ever laid eyes on him myself.
Yeah,
in such a way. I really appreciate. I thought he was a lovely dog, and I thought when I saw a long time ago Elliot with his old dog and stuff. I mean, when it came down, he was at the dog shows in we're in New York, but I'm saying he brought his old dog and stuff like that, and it was like
a rock star, Dennis.
Yeah. Was like a rock star standing on the table, and yeah. I mean, just loved him. And there, so and that's what I was. I was very young. I was probably 15, 14 when I showed in juniors with the blind Irish setter and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know what to say with all that. You know, it's just crazy.
But even dogs that you've seen in recently that you've admired. I don't want dogs that are being campaigned now, but. You know, over the years, I always admired Seth. You know, your old dog, Seth.
Oh, you're only in Irish setters, you're saying.
No, it doesn't mean Irish setters. English
setters. Poetry and Motion is my dream dog. I mean, like I'd say, the English setter from Canada. Yeah. She's the best sporting dog I've ever seen in my life, for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen lots of them. Yes, she didn't have the campaign and stardom, but an owner-handler putting best in shows, multiple best in shows in three countries in a month by herself, winning nationals. I mean, she just was, you wanted her, I wanted her. I mean, so yeah. She was just unbelievable. And her brother, I won the Canadian National, her brother, and beat her. And I was heartbroken. I thought, there's no way that I should ever beat her. I mean, that was my feeling. And then other dogs, what do you think of, like, I mean, I got the, like, Condor, when he was a class dog, Kelly was at a dog show, and I got to take him in back in for best of winners and stuff like that, and won. It was Maxine Beam that weekend or whatever. I think it was Maxine Beam. I mean, it was just one of those things that, like, you're picking me to show this dog, I mean, when they had it, you know what I'm saying? You know?
Yeah. And,
you know, that's just, I just think about dogs. I mean, now, I mean, there's two, everybody used to get behind great dogs, and now people try to beat them up. I mean, that's what I have a problem with nowadays. I mean, except them, there are a few great ones ever in our lifetime that you can put in one hand, the dogs you would just near perfection in every breed. I'm saying, I mean, except for David Fitzpatrick, everyone's the next great one. He's like a machine. He just pops it in there and they pop out. Just one.
It's true, isn't it?
I'm like, I don't know anybody that does it to that level. You know, Doug has had great success with all his cumbers and like that. But I'm telling you, one little breed like that, you know, so. But dogs over the years that I saw, you know, like, I mean, Sandy's old dog, Take No Prisoner dog, is the best working dog I've ever seen in my life. You know what I'm saying? I believe in my heart. First time I saw him, he was standing in an X pen at the, she had a litter of puppies. And I'm like, oh my God, you know? So that's, I mean, we all look for that in our lives. I'm saying, you know, and then the chin, I got luckiness. My best friend that had $2 to her name, bred a Japanese chin named Look No More. Deco's Look No More. And I got to show him. I mean, everybody wanted him. And she's like, no one can take him but you if you want to do him. I mean, it's just little dog. I won six or seven nationals on him. I mean, he lost one national ever. And Mary almost won the national from the 6 to 9 class with her showing it. I mean, and she was like novice handler. I mean, the judge, he just quit with tired. And so, he won winners and best of winners, best in sweeps. I mean, they don't come along like that. And he's behind every great, really great dog nowadays in chins. I say someday I have 3 breedings on him that if I find the right one, I will go back to chins because I want to downsize and do smaller dogs again and have a life and take them everywhere with me. And I mean, Irish setters just, I mean, I think it's time to let Adam and all them just do the Irish setters. And I mean, well, I have one, probably I'll have another one. I'll have one at a time.
Yeah.
But I mean, back to great dogs. I mean, like, you know, like the first time you saw the Doberman bitch, I mean, just, you know, everybody standing around. I mean, you know, she was just, Fifi just stood there and you're like, that's perfection standing there. You mean, and she owned the ring with her owner standing there. I mean, those don't come. I mean, just give you goosebumps the whole time. You know, you go and watch, I mean, standard poodles at the garden. I mean, there's been several of all different types, you know, and lucky enough, you know, I've got to enjoy that over the years, being friends with all the people, it doesn't matter what breed they are. Good dog flesh is hard to come by nowadays. I mean, there's not people breeding numbers anymore. People are just breeding a few dogs. I mean, years ago they had big kennels and line breeding and beauty. And I mean, I'm not saying they're not, some dogs are not prettier nowadays, but it's hard to get the type from to consistently have the same type because you don't have numbers. So that's my, you know.
It's true. It's true. The big, you know, the big kennels in the old days, they produced some great dogs. They produced hundreds of dogs, though. So it's
right.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Adele. Tell me all about Adele. How did it start?
How did it start?
Tell me, first of all, say your registered name for everybody and tell about Adele.
her name is Melissa's My Sharia Moore. And we have to jump back for Adele. I had Adele's mother that was winner's bitch, and she's actually the top winning class bitch in history of the breed. And she was a big, big strapping girl. You know what I'm saying? I was getting to the point where Joel and me, the business was going too much. So I showed her and I gave her to Kelly Fitzgerald. Kelly showed her for a little while and didn't do much. And I took her back and I got 5 best in shows on her. I'm saying Adele's mother. And she was not my ideal, but she was made really well. So I bred to this really pretty dog, a friend's dog, and I said I made the litter of puppies. And me and Tracy co-bred dogs at the time and stuff like that. Tracy Melissa Kennels up in Richmond, Virginia. And I went up there, we had the litter of puppies. I always have the puppies here at the house. They're born at the house. And at like 3.5, 4 weeks, Tracy takes them up to Richmond and raises the puppies. So the puppies are now about, I came up every once in a while and I saw the puppies and they're like 11 weeks, 10 weeks old. And I said, we're keeping this puppy and this puppy. She said, no, we're not. we're not keeping ass in hole. I said, so we had a brother and a sister. And so, and that's, and Adele was, so that was Adele. I'm saying she was always demanding and outspoken. And her brother was just the same. And he was a lovely dog. And I mean, he, you know, so, but anyway, is so she came and just like all the great ones we were talking before, she was I was all ready to start her puppy career. And doesn't she go outside and just run in the yard and rip her whole muscle off her shoulder blade, right off her blade. I mean, so now I'm at an orthopedist and they want to do surgery. And they said, I have to crate rest her. They said at least 3 months you have to crate rest her. So, cause I had, I mean, she's all shaved, the whole thing. They're taking pictures and they're working on it. And I had her over to the specialist and Joel's like, you're crazy to put all this into a puppy. So anyway, so I decided she's going to stay at the kennel at the vet office. If I brought her home, I'd spoil her. So I made her hand walk there for 9 months before I would let her walk out in a big yard. So, which gave her great personality for as a show dog. She thought she was a person. I mean, she went, sure. She was there every day hanging out with everybody else. And, so the first time I showed her, I took her to the National. She did well. I think I won the bred by. I went second in the bred by class under Jimmy Covey. I mean, only time losing as a class animal. But anyway, that's a different story. And I love Jimmy. Anyway, I'm saying, so next time I took her to the specialty, she won the specialty from the classes. And then I took the next specialty, she got a group two. The next, she won the specialty. We were in Ohio, and she won the specialty again from the classes and group two. And then the third day I moved her up and she went group one. And then from the, I mean, it, cause she was like just over two when I started showing her. And then I decided she had to grow up for a while and I brought her back out. And, I had the ride of my life. I mean, it was hard working a job and then being every weekend someplace in the country. I mean, but it's what you do. I mean, I did it for the Bulldog, same thing, but there'll never be another one for me like that ever in my life. I mean, you know, she gave me everything. The only thing she didn't like is a slippery floor.
Oh, oh. I lost you.
Uh-oh.
Well, there we go. You're back.
Okay, let me plug you in. I think it's trying to die on me.
Uh-oh. Can't have that.
Hold on. We can't have that. My life. See if I put a charger out here because I was on a third way, but I thought it would be fine. A little loose, Will. So anyway, I had a ball with her. I wound up with 56 specialty best on her.
That's which is amazing. The top record. 56.
Yeah, 56 specialties. And what I get? 20, I think 24 best and shows on her. You know, and that's with limited amount of traveling, you know. And I thought long and hard that it was supposed to go to, I was going to give her to Adam to do, and I backed out. Joel said, do you really want to give her up? I'm like, no, you know. So, I mean, and it was like, it was hard because he'd planned everything to do her and stuff like that and try to do, you know. But, and I got to see everybody again. I mean, I was home for a while there for a long time, and right. I got to see all my friends again. And that's what I'm missing again after COVID. I mean, it's not about the wins and the rings. I don't even know where any of those ribbons are. It's about being with friends and enjoying the dog. And I mean, I gave all the prizes away at dog shows when I traveled. I mean, now I didn't bring them home. It's not that.
Was there group two at the garden? Was that basically her retirement?
That was basically her retirement.
Yeah.
Group two. I don't think I've shown her since.
Yeah.
You know, but I said I would show her some specialties, and I haven't done it because of COVID.
Yeah, well, that's natural.
She's 11 years old, and she's 11 years old now. Like in 2 weeks, she'll be 11.
I can't believe she's 11 years old.
She looks about 7 or 8.
Yeah, thank God.
That's what I'm saying. But she looks 7 or 8.
That's amazing.
I mean, she has hardly any gray. I mean, I just lucked out. You mean what I'm saying? But healthy as can be, shoulders fine. I mean, the whole thing for years, you're like, it's going to get me later in life, you know? So, and I bred her and she didn't take. And then, I mean, I decided it didn't matter to me. I mean, like, I didn't want to lose her. And I mean, she's older. I mean, at the time when I started breeding her, it didn't matter. I mean, I'll never have another one like that, you know? So,
yeah.
But there's no, you know, wins under people that you like die for. I mean, you think back and like, I mean, there's so many, I mean, of great Irish Setter people that put her up, you know, you have Thor and, you know, I mean, just like you just die. I mean, the whole thing, you think back that they thought she was good enough. I mean, no matter who was there. And I, you know, you beat all, you know, you go down to the invitational and you win the group. And you mean, you know, it's like, okay, I mean, just fun stuff. Fun.
Yeah, I mean, no, she was fun.
You know, you did it yourself. You and your little dog with our couple dollars, we managed to do it all, you know?
Yeah.
And we got offered big backers for her, and Joel decided we could do it. And I mean, if I had to keep working, but I mean, I could decide where I wanted to do and when I wanted not to go places, you know? And we had a vacation and, I mean, traveled and things in between and enjoyed our life too in between, yeah. You know? Happy medium, you know?
I mean, everybody loved Adele when she was like, as a person, you know?
Right. And it's so funny. I mean, a good friend, Mary, is her bitch's name is Set Fire to the Rain, and her bitch is Claudette. And saying mine, it should have been Adele, but she couldn't use the name because I mean, her My Sharia Moore, and I called her Adele. I didn't care. I wanted the name Adele. And that's before Adele. So that's how long ago. So, you know, time flies.
Yeah.
That's what I keep saying. That's our time.
Yeah. What are you going to do, Ken? You're going to judge?
I would like to. I mean, if I can slow down a little bit at the office, the system is so hard to get through. I mean, that's what my feeling is. I mean, years ago it was quite easy when you showed lots of dogs over the years, a handler, you got multiple breeds to try to get you started. Now it's very slow. And I mean, and now that I've been on it for a while, you're going to be on the slow pace. So I would like to judge. I'm not going to say it's my first and utmost. I mean, I want to see the grandchildren now. That's my big thing is
yeah.
I try to get up there as much as I can. I mean, now that it's open, you know, I mean, it's all with the dogs, with the vet practice. No, there you are. It's not going to work. So, but I just, you know, so.
So it might be in your future then.
Yeah, I would love to, but I'm going to judge at Morrison X the sweepstakes. And I mean, I'm going to judge probably, I mean, up in New York, they want me to judge some sweepstakes up there. And, you know, I will, but I have to sit down and apply. I don't like the tests. So, I mean, it's just sitting down and studying again, you know. But, you know, everybody at AKC, because of the vet office, we see lots of people from the AKC. They're all after us to judge and get going on it. You know, there's very few, you know, people they've been in their whole lifetime not judging, and people are walking away from it.
So, well, I think you should at least give it a whirl, see if you like it. So we need you out there. So
yeah. Well, thanks.
So we didn't really touch on many mentors. Any mentors that come to mind? Like, I know Mrs. Clark was close to you.
Mrs. Clark was very close to me. I mean, the one time she had me just crying, she told me what a great breeder I was. Her telling me, and like when I'm saying I had the bulldog. And a very funny story about her is my mentor. I had the bulldog. The first time she ever saw him, she calls me out to the middle of the ring and says, "Where did you get him?" And I said, "I bred him." She said, "No, where did you get him?" I said, "I bred him." And she said, "Put him back in line." And I did my individual. I was the last dog in the group. And she said, "Put him over there up front." And she never gave him anything lower than the highest that she could ever put him in. And it was like, and she came over and got him out of the crate at dog shows. She just was. Just, you know, and her gave me was a group two, but she's probably one of my biggest supporters. She liked to kick me in the ass. So, I mean, you know, and we have our love-hate relationship, me and George, and we get along now. Great. I'm saying, you know, the whole thing, which is great. And his wife is my, you know, like, one of my dearest hearts go out to that woman that I love her. And
thanks. She's wonderful. You know, she's wonderful.
You know, people, you just go over the years, mentors, I mean, hard work and, I mean, I just look up to hardworking people that you say it there. I mean, like you said the other day, someone was talking about like Kelly Fitzgerald, she'll help you any day. I mean, like that. People are afraid of being asking. And I mean, just ask people at dog shows, you know, we don't know how to approach you. You know what I'm saying? We want to help. I mean, there's lots of things. I mean, some things I can help you with. Other things I'm like, other people do a better job, you know? Like like I said, Adam at dog shows. I mean, I I jump, mix you two up all the time. Father and son are hard to mix up. You know, it is. I do that. So anyways, I trim the rear better than Adam, I think. And Adam thinks, he trims the front better. And we're at a dog show. You're like, you got to fix this. And I need to fix that on your dogs to bring it up. And that's so funny. I mean, that's why we all work together. I mean, to make a better dog. We all have different eyes for different reasons.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, but people put the same trim on every dog. It's you have to learn to. Reasons why we're doing everything in our, I mean, different things, all different dogs.
Exactly. I interviewed Sean Nichols and he was talking about Mark Shanoff, and he said, Mark always said that little black dress didn't always fit the same, the different women all the time. So you had to make a different black dress for different women. So
I agree.
Poodle wise. So,
right.
I like that analogy.
Right.
Okay. Well, one more question, Kenneth, before
What's
I let
that? You
go. If you could meet the 20-year-old, let's say 18-year-old Kenneth again, is there any advice you'd give him?
I would tell him it's going to be hard. You'll get through it. You know, it's a tough one. You know, just like same year as I had my child, and a year later I lost my father. And, you know, it was just a hard year.
Yeah.
But you get through it. Life, you know, everything's it's terrible then. You just work through it, and people respect you if you work hard. I mean, I always had 2 or 3 jobs. You have to get, I mean, you have to make ends meet. You have to take care of your family and respect the people around you. I mean, have respect for yourself too. But that's what I tell myself over and over again. It's going to be hard. You don't know if you can pay all your bills right now. You'll get through it. Never bounced a check in my life. I made it through it.
Yeah. I remember sitting for hours with you and we'd talk about those exact things, right?
Right. How are we doing this? And
yeah.
Right. Trying to get through it. You know, we're just kids. We're smoking our money away, but that was, you know, but anyway, we weren't bad kids. We were,
no,
we had ambition to do something with our lives. I mean, some of these kids nowadays, you know, you're like, you know, society has made children really hard. I mean, you know, we can't find help. No one wants to work.
No one wants to do it. Yep.
Yeah, we had a 16-year-old come in and apply for a job. Wants us to start out at $16 an hour. How do you do that? I mean, you have no experience. Wants to know when his vacation is. He getting health benefits if he stays for a year. He's 16 years old. I was hoping to get $35 riding in the back of a van helping people out with dog shows. I'm saying back then.
I know.
I mean,
sometimes you work for free. I when I first started working for Gary, I'm telling you. I didn't even know if I got paid or not.
That's what we say. You mean? Yeah. Now it's like, you mean how much? And I mean, you know, when am I going to be off and vacations and whatever? I'm like, you know, so that's what I have to say to my 18-year-old self. We made it through it. Work hard. And I'm still working hard. I always will. I work, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
The vet office, we have the dogs here. I don't have all this help that, I mean, some people have. I mean, I've never been that way. You know, so...
No, you're a worker. No question.
And I take care. I mean, my children around me. I mean, whatever you want to say. Go back to that. You know, that's most important to me now. Like, I mean, I gave you the one dog. I gave Adam the dog we reserved in the garden. That was my dog, the Foots dog. I mean, I gave that to him. I mean, the people should have it that want them. I'm saying, and then I like Andrew Doyle. I gave him his dog, Storm and Norman. I was winning with the dog. I'm saying, you know. Janice had a different dog of mine that came back. I mean, it's just funny. You know, Katie had a dog of mine. I'm saying, just all fun.
Well, you made an impact on the breed. That's for sure, Ken.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. We put a lot of years this.
We did. And I like when someone posts a picture and there's you and I. Well, you still have hair, but back then I had lots of hair too.
Mine's thinning very greatly, but anyway, white as can be, like you. Our weight goes up and down. So, but anyway, life is good, you know. I miss my kids. That's the big thing. They all have to grow up and leave us after a while. But it's boy.
You're back.
There we are back. Yes, you know, so I guess the battery pack's not working. So anyway,
all right.
But I mean, you know, you have your, you know, I like today. Adam's up in Michigan. Check on, you know, you have to find out what's going on with everybody.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's not about the dogs anymore. It's about my people. You know, let somebody else do this. So.
All right, Kenneth. Well, thanks for your time, man. And okay. I know you guys are busy. Give Joel my best, and I'm sure I'll see you somewhere.
I will see you soon. I'm sure.
Yeah. All right.
You know? Stay safe.
You too, Ken. Great to see you, brother.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ken. It was great catching up. It's good to see you. I just saw you the National, but it's still good to see you. We spent a lot of time at the National together. We spent a lot of time over the years together. If you like what we're seeing here, make sure you press the like, share, and subscribe button. Don't forget, if you want to get a hold of me, get a hold of me at dogshowtips@gmail.com. Or if you just want to find out what's happening in Will's world, go to willalexander.net. And don't forget about the Dog Show Drive with Wayne Cavanaugh and myself every Thursday on your podcast stations, Spotify, Stitcher, and Apple, whatever. All right, guys. Till next week.